That's right. Sometimes you're the wind and sometimes you're the bug. And we find that we are in dire straits. Welcome to RealLibertyMedia.com. I'm Vince Easley, your host here with a Ponder Gander. This is rambling on a bit interrupted. I'd intended to close out for the summer with episode 13 and a half of my radio writing series on the Bundy Ranch. Then it would be ending and also be the beginning of the next round when I come back. I'm headed out here about Sunday. It'll take me a river trip. Get out into the world. Rambling on. So, what is this bug talking about? Said when it's a strange old game, you learn it slow. One step forward and it's back to go. You're standing on the throttle, you're standing on the brakes, in the groove till you make a mistake. So this Ponder Gander interrupted. We're going to be talking some about Rick Coiber, and if you don't know who he is, he is the free capitalist. I met Rick in Vegas at the Bundy Ranch trial and got some video up of symposium there, and I'll bring links in. You come back to the R-Log, that's R-L-O-G, hashtag that, R-Log. Got a lot of meaning to that, yours, mine, and everybody else's. So sometimes you are the windshield, and sometimes you're the bug. Sometimes it comes together, baby, and sometimes you're a fool in love. Well, there's a great love in this world for freedom, especially supposed to be this idea of America. What do we got? We've got, we know, some of us do anyways, some that have gone into the heat of the battle to stand there in the gap and resistance. Peaceful pushback is what Ammon Bundy called it. I like that. Let me go back over here. I'll read a little bit from Ammon Bundy. He's back on Facebook now. He had left there for some time. I like Ammon. Became friends with him in Bunkerville, 2014. Now, this is from Ammon Bundy. Motion in Lemon. It's spelled L-I-M-I-N-E. Lemine. Lemon, actually, is the pronunciation. So what is this? So it's a lemon law, quite obviously. Well, I think it will become quite obvious anyways. From Ammon, Rick was not given a fair trial. The jury was not allowed to view the full evidence. This is a tactic the prosecution now used to win trials. The process appears to the people like a fair trial because a jury is seated, but much of the exculpatory evidence is eliminated or withheld. This happens in our trial. Oh, wait a minute, I'm losing my place here. I need to tilt my eyes better. This happened in our trial, and we had to take the witness stand and risk cross-examination to overcome it. The same happened in Rick's trial, that he chose not to take the stand. Many others have been convicted by the same deceptive action. How can it be a fair trial when the jury does not get to hear the truth, the entire truth? This is the big part right there, the entire truth. The most damaging part of this facade is the people think that the trial was fair and decided by a jury, when in reality the judge and prosecutors limited the information going to the jury to convict. The judge and the prosecutors forced Rick into multiple trials, and in each trial they honed and eliminated evidence until they got a conviction. The prosecutors and judge did the same thing to Todd Engel in our case, and Todd still sits in prison today, facing over a decade behind bars, while the rest of us are free. Rick's trial was not justice, and the jury was deceived through a motion in lemon. The system is corrupted. Indeed it is. How many, I mean, you get convicted, you go to prison. You don't get convicted, the prosecution gets to come back for another bite of the lemon. It's a lemon law. It should sour your face. Absolutely. There's a lot. There's so much going on here. People that are resisting the government and fight, and I mean, God, what do you do? There's so many chances for misstep and putting yourself there in a line of fire. These people are serious about trying to make change, holding accountable the government. A lot of us are called the domestic terrorist and anti-government. That's just not true. There's supposed to be laws in place to limit the government. And I've witnessed for myself firsthand how all this works. I sat in, again, Bruce Doucette in Denver, and look at the jury and them looking at me, and too specifically, that their look, their face, their eyes, they told me that we're basically over a barrel. You know, it's like, man, sorry, you know, I know you're here to support this guy, figure out who you are, and we know, but there's nothing we can do about it. Got to convict. Because why? That's the rules that are given to the jury. So much. Look at the Bundy trial, the first round, when guys couldn't even testify. They couldn't claim self-defense. It was said that there were no snipers and there were no cameras and there was no threat. But eventually that came out in the Bundy et al. Trial of the Tier 1. So they had split these guys up into three tiers according to their definition of degree of severity. Where does that leave us? And I've got these ums and ums, and, you know, so these are my verbal commas, if you will. We've got a lot of people in the fight, and it's not over. The persecution, I've come with this word, the persecution by the press. It's happening. They set up the narrative. And, you know, maybe they just want to be in control of how the story ends. Or somebody does. But anyways, yeah, paid prostitutes. They're a tool. So I've also had the chance to meet people in the mainstream media and confront them and challenge them. Let's tell the truth. I mean, if you're writing and it's opinion, well, sure. Yeah, we all have our opinion. And so don't think that that's not okay. Yeah, it's okay. Give your opinion. But don't state it as fact when there's obvious fact that counters that. And don't tell the partial truth. Tell it all. Tell it all. Well, I'm scrolling. I'd like to listen to the video. I think I will, because I'd like to include this. This is from Ammon, and it's about 15 minutes long. And I'm going to mute up and play it through so it can be included into this. This is my report. This is as witness in making a record. So I set that in. We'll include the original link here back to this. So I'm going to listen to Ammon Bundy and come to chat.
Hello, my friends.
15 minutes long.
Haven't done this in a long, long time, but felt like I needed to do a little short video. I know I'm kind of rough looking. I got my work hat on. I've been working, but I felt like I needed to say a few things and to inform you of a few matters that are happening, especially with Rick Kerber and his case. It's an atrocity, and I've seen it develop for a long time now, so I know a lot of the details, a lot of things that have happened in his case that need light shed on it, and I am not going to completely do that right now. I'm going to only take a few minutes, but wanted to just get this out there. So when I was first arrested, Rick Kerber ended up contacting me. He went to the refuge and before, and I was not able to talk to him. anyway, end up talking to him when I was first incarcerated. And he began to, you know, help me in any way he can. He was very considerate. Many times I felt like Rick emotionally saved my life, and it was just so hard to be in those prisons, and Rick, you know, gave me hope, and he convinced me that he was going to fight and fight for me, and he was communicating. He was my liaison, and he was helping Lisa and the kids and doing all he could, and I understood quickly what kind of heart Rick Kerber had. And the amount of sacrifice that he would make for his fellow man. So we went through that process, and he did basically sacrifice his entire life while we went through trial in Oregon, and we won. Another figure that was extremely impactful in my trial was my attorney, Marcus Mumford. And as many of you know, just minutes after I was acquitted, fully acquitted by a jury, my attorney, Marcus Mumford, was tased in the courtroom. And I've put a link in the notes here where you can click on that and listen to his description of why he was tased. But ultimately, the marshals were upset with him, you know, the prosecutors and all those who basically hold a tremendous amount of power in the courtroom and in our judicial system and in our country were upset with myself, but also with Marcus Mumford and Morgan Philpott and Rick Kerber for defending me, truly defending me in the courtroom and getting the truth to the jury, and so that the jury could see and make a decision. And the jury decided, all 12 of them, that myself and those with me were not guilty on all charges, and I was acquitted. And so they took the opportunity, the marshals, and they surrounded Marcus Mumford right in the courtroom and threw him to the ground and tased him and then arrested him. Shortly after that, they found out that Rick Kerber was involved and influential in getting my release and getting, or I shouldn't say my release, but my acquittal, and getting basically defending me and getting the truth out there. And Rick's case that he is in jail right now for, previous to my trial, Rick's case had been dismissed. And dismissed on guess what? A speedy trial violations and prosecutorial misconduct by the prosecutors. So it had been dismissed by a judge, but it wasn't dismissed with prejudice. So as soon as the prosecutors found out that Rick was involved in my case, guess what they did? They reindicted him. For like at this time, this isn't the first time he's been reindicted. But it needs to be clear that his case was dismissed by a judge. And he was reindicted by these prosecutors that have been so vindictive in trying to destroy him once they found out of his involvement in my case. So then they went after Marcus Mumford legally, trying to take his license away, prosecuting him. And ultimately, it was decided that Marcus would never practice in Oregon again, and they kind of backed away. And, well, they didn't back away, but they basically signed an agreement, and he basically can't practice in Oregon anymore. And I asked the question, why? Because he was willing to defend the innocent in court, because he wouldn't comply and go along with what the judge and the prosecutors and the U.S. Attorney's Office was trying to do, which they were just trying to take myself, my brother, my friend, and march us to the gallows. That's what they were trying to do. And Marcus Mumford and Rick Kerber said no, and Morgan Philpott said no. And they actually defended me, which is hard to do in their world, in that courtroom. But they put themselves at great risk, and because of that, they suffered. They've suffered tremendously because of me, because they were willing to defend me, my brother, and many others, and they got an acquittal. And these people are upset about it. And they have gone after Marcus. They've gone after Morgan. They've gone after Rick. They've gone after so many others because they did not get their way. And the same thing happened in Nevada. Now, after Rick's first trial, just so you know, the whole reason why Marcus Mumford was brought into my case is because he was Rick's attorney. And so, and he'd been Rick's attorney for several years. And after Rick's first trial, now this was, you know, I think 8 or 9 years since they had indicted Rick, they got a hung jury. So a jury decided, it was split. They couldn't decide whether Rick was guilty or not. Well, the prosecutors decided to retry Rick. But they wanted to retry Rick without Marcus Mumford because he's a good attorney and he truly defends and he just won't go with the flow. So what do? They take and they force Marcus Mumford to, I don't know the right wordage, but basically resign from Rick's case. And the way they do that, the way they did that, was they said, because of your involvement in Oregon and all that happened there, we will deem you, Marcus Mumford, as, listen to this, a threat to public safety because you will not comply in the courtroom and because you are defending these certain people and allowing them to get out. Now, I paraphrase that. I have the actual documents, or I'm getting them, but there is an actual letter that they wrote to Marcus that says that we will deem you as a threat to public safety if you do not recuse yourself from Rick Kerber's case. And then they forced public defenders on Rick. Okay? Public defenders, I mean, don't get me wrong, but basically they back for the same team, right? They're held under that. They get their paycheck from the federal government. And most of the time, they just do not have the gumption and the ability and the will to buck the system that's paying their, that's signing their paycheck. And so now Rick has to go into the next trial with public defenders. And I personally don't think that that's a good situation to be in. Because when it comes down to the judge in the courtroom, saying that you will do this, you will not put this evidence in front of the jury, you will not do this, public defenders will just back away. But a good defender like Marcus Mumford will not. He will still push. He will do all he can to get the truth in front of the jury so the jury can make an honest and true decision. But in Rick's case, that never happened. And the public defenders discouraged Rick from taking the stand. They kind of convince Rick that this is in the bag, that there's no way that the jury is going to convict, but that's what happened. They got a conviction. But there was tactics being used that I've mentioned earlier, which is called, you know, motions of limine, which basically is the prosecutor's way of telling their own narrative. They basically eliminate the evidence that the defendants can bring to the jury, can present to the jury. And that's how they got a conviction on Rick. They did not let him present the evidence to the jury that Rick wanted. And the public defenders just didn't do a very good job at fighting that fight. You know, that's what is happening here. And now you've got a judge, and his name is Paul Warren, and he has had a vendetta against Rick from the very beginning. And remember, Rick's case started when, you know, and we'll go into detail this and I'll document this and get it all laid out, but Rick went against the Republican Party in Utah. When John McCain was running, he had John McCain speak at one of his free capitalist, meetings, I guess, Rick was pretty powerful. He could raise $200,000-$300,000 a night for a candidate because Rick had the ability to do that. And the people that, you know, were part of this free capitalist group had the ability to do that. So the Republican Party wanted Rick and the free capitalist group to be in their pocket. Well, Rick was so disgusted with John McCain's, agenda and his thoughts and his political ideas that he decided he could not support John McCain. Well, the Republican Party resented that, and there was actions that were trying to take to push their way into Rick's organization, and Rick basically pushed back. Well, it was just right after that the U.S. prosecutors, who is controlled basically by the Republican Party in the state of Utah, indicted Rick on false charges, on garbage charges. And Rick thought, this is a joke. I'll be able to, take care of this in just months. And now it has been almost 10 years. Their life has been hell for 10 years. Just like Joel, his beautiful wife, said to me today, we're still stuck back in 2006. We can't move on. They've been prosecuting and going after our family since 2006. And they've just continued to try him and to indict him, after hung juries and dismissals and all of that. They just continue until they finally, after 10 years, got a jury. After eliminating all the evidence, they finally got a jury to, see it their way. This is not justice. And it's not okay. And I call out Paul Warren. Just like you said when you were given the position, after 17 years as a federal prosecutor, Judge Warren, you were once the longest serving U.S. attorney in the nation. You said yourself, making the shift from prosecutor and advocate to an impartial judge is a challenge. And I say to you now, Judge, it is a challenge. And you're not meeting that challenge very well. Because Rick Kerber is something completely different than what you've casted him at, than what the media has casted him at, and there must be justice. You cannot get away with doing what you've been doing. You cannot. And there has to be, some justice here. You need to let Rick go home, back to his family. And a lot of people here are seeing it, seeing the light being shed on Rick Kerber's case, and will continue to shed it. And that's all I've got to say for now. Until next time, my friends, thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Ammon Bundy, speaking for Rick Kerber. What is this Lemon Law, this motion in Lemon? Where's that at? What did I do with that? I've got it here somewhere. Yes. A motion in Lemon. This comes from Cochran Firm. A motion in Lemon. Emin was pronouncing it Lemony. So I did one search for Lemony and under the spelling of L-I-M-I-N-E. And it said, a YouTube video said Lemon. So, but they may not knew how to say it correctly. So I'm going to call it Lemon because it's so fitting, a Lemon Law. And that is, a motion in Lemon is a motion filed by a party to a lawsuit which asked the court for an order or ruling limiting or preventing certain evidence from being presented by the other side at the trial of the case. Generally, this motion is filed in advance of the trial, but a motion may be entertained by the court during a trial before the evidence in question is offered. The purpose of this motion is to prevent the interjection of matters which are irrelevant, inadmissible, or prejudicial. Most objections to the admissibility of evidence are made when the evidence is offered at trial. Thus, the jury usually hears the question and the witness's answer before the objection is made, or hears the other lawyer discuss this evidence in his opening statement. Now, the reason these motions are filed in advance of the trial is to prevent the other party from offering the evidence in front of the jury. Once the evidence is offered, the court is, the cat is out of the bag, so to say, and cannot be put back in. This will be in the R-Log post here, so I'll include this information. You can read the rest for yourself. Let's see, wrong click. Let's go back to this one. Here we go. Also, from June the 3rd, Ammon Bundy does The Liberty Effect. I have a link here. In here, Ammon talks about his time in prison, court, and the system's failings for truth and justice. Bundy Ranch. That's me posting Vince Easley. Real Liberty at reallibertymedia.com. So please listen and understand and share what is happening to our judicial prison system and what a righteous judicial system looks like. Thank you. Please share it from Ammon Bundy. Let's scroll up here. This also I'm going to include, and I don't reckon I'll play it. Who is Rick Korber from Ammon Bundy, June the 3rd of 2019? And I'll let y'all. So the details and names of those who have caused so much injustice in Rick Korber's case are being put together right now for everyone to read and test the facts. These judges and prosecutors have been trying to convict Rick for over 9 years now, so there's many details and people to expose. It started when Rick and his organization called the Free Capitalist would not raise. Let me see here. Hold on. Yeah, that it would not raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for John McCain's presidential campaign. The Free Capitalists believed that McCain was bad for America and refused to support him. Right after the Free Capitalists announced that they were not going to be supporting the Republican candidate, the Republican Party, who was in power and held high influence over the U.S. Attorney's Office in Utah, sent the U.S. prosecutors after Rick. They destroyed his business, falsely accused him of running a Ponzi scheme, ran a media slander campaign against him, and have done almost all they could to discredit and ruin his life over the past decade. Meanwhile, Rick has suffered greatly and has still helped many people, even in his troubles. I am one of those who he has helped and know personally that Rick is a good man who will sacrifice greatly for his fellow man and ask nothing in return. Indeed, I was impressed in meeting and being able to communicate with Rick. He seems to be honest and genuine in his desire to bring freedom to what we're supposed to be living in here. Listen, I'm going to add this in here, this link here, which will be used as form to submit new stories to RLM. Submitted stories will be reviewed as soon as possible. Thank you, and thank you, Grimner, the great and mighty. Yes, the chief cook and bottle washer right here at reallibertymedia.com. Now, let me go on up here. Let's include this. An Oregon judge restricts the Hammond Ranch grazing rights for the month of June. A hearing late this month will consider a motion to further revoke the reinstated 10-year permit by Department of Interior Secretary Zinke after their pardon from President Trump last year. And this is all coming from a few groups. Of course, Center for Biological Diversity is in there. Kieran Suckling. Yes, he has me blocked. the suckling pig. I've dedicated some good time for him. Yeah, we had a little talk there at the Las Vegas Federal Courthouse back almost 2 years ago. Now it's going to be 2 years come end of this year anyways. I'm also putting this here from Michael Pilatus, Liberty 101, How We Win by Rick Coiber. And this was probably one of his last broadcasts as a free capitalist that he was doing on air, or that actually goes through the air in radio up in Utah. And Rick talks about paradigms and other perceptions of what we are trained to see and what we will miss, as well as a few legal strategies. Man, it's hard to beat these guys when they come after you. Yo, Standing with Rick Coiber. And a mention to my friend Ashra over in Great Britain. Hey, you. Mallow Malva. It's bad, they say. And, well, this has been, how many years is this? 5 years ago. Yep, she sent me some seeds, and the U.S. Customs and Border Protection examined it and took my seeds, my weed seeds, not pot, but I would have maybe planted them in pots and got them going. Yes, Rome marched their army on Mallow Malva. Sure did. And this is your public service announcement for today. Remember, only you can prevent Facebook drama. Thank you, Smokey the Bear. Now, I shared this here. I've seen from High Country News. This is part of this, you know, this attack, this advance guard for the system, mainstream media. And, you know, go ahead and just say you're prejudiced. I understand. I guess I'd have to say the same of myself. But anyways, here is, and this isn't talking about him. I'm not going to talk, well, I had to exclude something between Andrew and Cliven. A little exchange of discord. I said, you know, yeah, the type of person I am here, I'm not out for sensationalism or breaking news and getting this scoop and this little juicy little stuff on people, right? Every time I try to play funny little games in this, I always get my foot in my mouth up. Let's try it with a foot-free mouth episode. But this comes from Andrew Cullen. He's a very interesting fellow. I got to spend the day with him and Cliven. We wrote about the country. And his son-in-law was there. Great guy. And we went and checked some cattle traps, and we went out up into where the springs were piped and fixed some pipes, and just went about and Cliven give a good education, and admittedly, I think Drew would have to give some conclusion that he was educated. So anyways, I was there when he took this picture. He gave me a ride back to my camp where I was over there along the river, Riverside. Yes, I was a self-appointed sheriff at that time as well. Keeping the law, keeping the peace, right? What is peace? Peace is a settlement in law. What is law? Law is a definite right from wrong. What is it? Been colluded, confused, and all this good stuff up in the good old U.S. just them system. Not hardly. So, yes, after we spent the day together, and I'm stopping on the way back, Andrew Cullen, he goes by Drew, he stopped to take some pictures of the river. But this picture he took, this was when we was up here fixing these water lines, and I helped in that too. I got some video I've never shared, but that's a future project still. So, this is hilarious. I told him, he was up there taking a picture, I said, I should take more pictures. And he says to me too. Professional photographer. I thought that was so classic. Great guy. Really like him. He's spent, I think it was 5 years in Tibet, was it? I've been about the world. Man, incredible artist, a photographer. He just shared here recently some photographs of the bloom in California, the wildflowers. Awesome. Okay, I'm coming back up here to the top, and we're going to get... thank you, Melissa Noel. Ammon is back, yes, and we listened to that. And here I am, back up to the top, pretty much, with the Lemon Law. I want to share... Now, this is a message there, the inbox on Facebook. And so I don't consider this to be exemplified. I think Ms. Carol would agree with me that it'd be all right to exchange our note here, conversation. But I sent to her, excuse me, this is dear Ms. Carol. I wanted to let you know how grateful for y'all that I am. And I'll just paraphrase down to her. I told her, well, I think they're good folks. They really are. I've measured Ammon and his mother and Brian Hyde, too. I think sits in the same type of spirit. And they're good. You can see it just come out. And people try to make these folks out to be terrorists and evil and all this, which I find to be terrible. But I'd never seen this before, but when Clive and we was eating beans and Bundy beef for lunch, I sit at the table with Clive, and they folded his arms, and I'd never noticed anybody to fold their arms in prayer. So when I pray, I take up that tradition and keep them in remembrance. When I give grace and thanks and ask for guidance in life along this path. And Ms. Carol, I'd like to share what she said. She said, "You're a good man with a good heart, and thanks for all you do to teach, educate, and spread the message of liberty and freedom. There is strength in numbers," and she says that we're proud of me. I appreciate that. I really do. And proud to count you as one of us, she says. Sends hugs. Thank you, ma'am. It's a memory in my mind forever, and I see your face in the light coming from your eyes when you talk about truth. And you had that knowing that it was going to come out before before this case was dismissed with prejudice. But go Gloria. I mean, Judge Navarro, but that was kind of her instruction. Go to the prosecution and no. To the defendants. And we're talking about how they exclude truth. What? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Isn't that what has always been said? It's what I've always heard it as. But I got to sit in courtrooms, one in Vegas and one in Denver, and I got to see how it worked. Yes, the mask was ripped off. I saw the evil. I saw it come right out, just like I saw the love and truth. It's reflected in Carol Bundy's eyes, in Ammon Bundy's eyes, the same. Brian Hyde. People, these folks are fighting. Well, they're right there, and if they get past them, you may be next. Having been warned, learn justice. Some people ain't interested in this. Why? Why you keep talking about the Bundys? Why? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep standing for the Bundys and those people that are standing in the gap. Rick Coimer, many, many more. If you don't get it, I don't know if you've not got it. I can't tell you, I guess, anymore, and I've already told you. You're next. Who's next? Brian Hyde, thank you. You're next. Better believe it. So, it's not over. They're building the setup for the takedown. They're going to come back. They're going to crucify. They want to crucify everybody that's opposed to this occupation. These people that sit in seats of decisions and hold the power over the American people. With life and death, with liberty. They make stuff up to put you away or kill you. Schaefer Cox. Some people go about this badly and they put themselves in jeopardy. Watch your step. Get behind the woodshed. Right here at reallibertymedia.com. Listen to Hal Anthony Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. It's being exposed. But most people think they know and they ain't apt to listen to nothing else because they already know. You don't know, probably. Or what you do know may not be all there is to know. Better fight and fight right. We'll all be lost. It's coming. I'm here to tell you, I'm warning you. And some people want to bring it to violence and play one side against another. This is not a good idea. Peace. And that's settled in law, real law. Not these fake, you know, they're working against us. And we need to try to come to some type of understanding how to do this in the right manner, where you're not run over and squashed, being in the path of that beast. But that's not always a guarantee neither, because they'll come after you. Well, I'm gonna close it right here, except for I'm going to kind of skip into another little segment here and talk about my trip out to the Little Red River. A staycation. It's just right down. I can walk out my front door and then turn in three directions and actually walk off and hit the river. But the trick is getting down and knowing which way to go. There's bluffs and all that stuff and little waterfalls if you're going downstream. So anyways, I'm going to go. I've not quite decided exactly, but around Shirley. I don't want to run the Lytleus to Shirley. I think it's about 10.5 miles. It takes a pretty good time. And I think I'm not going to want to run a solo. But what I want to really do is go from Shirley to Sandiff, which is down by the lake. Let me come over and see what somebody's saying here. What is the solution, Moose Girl? Well, keep standing. That's what we got to keep doing, is keep standing and learn to stand right. Stand in the gap. Stand up and speak for these folks that are being persecuted by prostitutes and prostitution. Just all these words that I like to make up. You're doing something, Moose Girl. You're talking about things. I don't know. For me, I've had to go put my physical person, whatever they want to try to label me there, if they'd want to capture me. So I tried to stand right, just standing there in the physical presence. Joshua Martinez, when they were kicking him out of court, and I said, I'm a witness, and I followed him all the way out. Got in the elevator with them. They didn't let nobody else in. I said, I'm coming with this man. I'm a witness. That's one solution. Be a witness. Keep a camera with you. Record things. I couldn't have the camera in the courtroom because of the rules, right? They want to keep things private. There was so much going on in the Bundy trial where they were covering up. Nope, can't say that. Nope, can't say that. Nope, nope, nope. Well, I say nope. I'm going to say it. What else? Well, I try to do this right. I've got this laminated piece of paper right here. Real Liberty Media Press correspondent, it says. At the very bottom, it says, all rights expressly reserved at all times. But it's also, there's a little extra there. I make this as a bonus. This is for identification and notification of intent. Here's my name. Here's my phone number. You send me a text message on my cell. Or you can call me at home, 745-7499, 501 area code in Arkansas. First Amendment rights. Well, I'm expressing that in my voice, in radio writing, I'm calling it, in this laminated official piece of paper from reallibertymedia.com, RLM radio. And put a XYZ on there with a dot. And come listen. Okay, Wait, which way did that squirrel go? I got my fishing license yesterday. We're going back to the river. The river run. So Sunday, I'm going to take you out and go set me up a camp. Now, I was going to, what I was saying a while ago, so doing a river run. I'd like to go from Shirley to the lake, but it's like a good half a day, if not longer. And so I don't want to have to spend the time, go set up a camp and downstream and then float to it, and, you know, all the time. So I'm going to go sit camp and not float, but we'll be like maybe paddle out around in a hole out there and do some little fishing and this and that. And maybe around Shirley would be a good place to sit in, because you're dear. Thank you, Moose Girl. Like my voice. I have a hard time. I'm with Rob on this one. I have a hard time listening to myself sometimes. Shut up. Okay, so what I hope to do is, and this is like a hidden treasure here, so maybe I'd not tell everybody, but some of the greatest beauty of all the country. I've traveled across this country time and time again. It is so beautiful here. But anyway, so it's kind of a hidden gem, but there are those that come along. So what I do is set up around Shirley real close, and where I can happen to meet and make this connection. And it always works for me if I let it come to me. I've learned this lesson in life is sometimes don't head in like a bull in a china closet, okay? But anyways, I let it happen. So I expect that maybe somebody will come along and they're floating down there, and I'll say, hey, let me go with you. Yeah, it would be a lot better idea than doing it alone, just in case I get dumped over and knocked my head against a rock. But I got a canoe, and it's going to be fun. Let me see if I can go find these links. Oh, crap. Yes. You know what? I'm always about, dang, did I push this button? Yes, I did. Thank goodness. Buttons, I tell you. They'll be the death of me. Be my last words. Wonder what this button does. Okay, here we are. This is it. One of them. Let's see. So we're wanting about 11 foot is the optimal level of the river. And this is AmericanWhitewater.org, and it shows this. 10.2 miles from the Middle Fork Red River at Shirley. This is from, I think this is from Lytles to Shirley. But I want to go below there. Those are levels 2 and 3 through there. You've got boulders and willow things there and standing waves. Definitely want to go with somebody else. So I got a life vest because I swim like a bowling ball. Once I stop kicking, I go to the bottom. It'd be great if I was a duck in the ocean where whiskey, and I could swim to the bottom and never come up. If you know Jack and Diamonds, you may know that song. I've known him of old. It's robbed my poor pockets of silver and gold. There's been times when it was beefsteak when I was hungry and whiskey when I was dry. Greenbacks when I'm hard up and heaven when I die. Let me back up out of this page here. There's a couple more. One specifically. There's on a search there, Google search for Little Red, Middle Fork, Lytles to Shirley, and the Middle Fork, Shirley to Sandiff. Yeah, ArkansasCanoeClub.com. This is what I'm looking for. Hidden spot, Arkansas Wild. I was wondering why we didn't change the spelling of that state and drop the S off so it's not Arkansas and put a W on the end like it ought to be said. And you know what they say on the news? They call folks here Arkansans. There ain't no Arkansan. They're Arkansasers or Arkies. You know, come on. Don't try to church it up. That's all I'm asking. Tell it like it is. So Float Van Buren County Initiative works to bring more outdoor tourism to Van Buren County. Oh, it's beautiful here. You cannot believe. I'm going to share this link in here. Let me go do that right now, actually, so you can come look at it with me live while we're taking this ponder gander. The ponder gander. Let's see. You do, Miss Girl. She knows that. Jack of diamonds, Jack of diamonds. I've known you of old. You've robbed my poor pockets of silver and gold. There it is. Hidden hot spot, Arkansas Wild. Listen, do me a favor now. If you are come visit and you're a Yankee, you're welcome to come visit. But please remember, do go home. We've had some Yankees move in around here. Oh, boy. Now, I'm not being a prejudiced person talking about Yankees. Circle, don't you ever call me a Yankee again. That's the biggest insult a Southerner can have. In case you didn't know. Now, where'd that go? Here it is. Back over here. Yeah, beautiful. You can see some pictures. Now, I'm going to be taking some video and photos. And I'm just going to go camping and get wet, do some fishing, and some little like things that you can do, like making cordage just for fun, that sort of thing. Making fire. That's right. I am the god of fire. One match challenge. Oh, let me tell you this. Yeah, it's up around the Buffalo River, so I'm just going to read. Buffalo River ain't far from us, and that's the nation's very first national river. I think it's called Scenic River. So the Buffalo River is arguably the most frequented river for float trips in Arkansas, but due to its popularity, it's often crowded. And for those in central or south Arkansas, it's quite a drive. Enter the Little Red River. The Little Red River, already well known as a trout fishing destination. This is not the Little Red where I'm out. There's a gnat. Matter of fact, I got invaded by gnats all this rain. So I made me a gnat trap with a plastic soda bottle. It works. If you don't know how to make that, ask me. I'll tell you how. And let's see, where was I at? Not trout fishing here. That's another part of the Little Red. The White River is actually where you want to go for trout. But you can get below the dam, Little Red is, empties into the lake, and then on the other end is where you can catch trout. And they put them out there and stuff. But cold river coming off the bottom of the lake. But up here, the water's not cold enough to keep them year-round. And the water, in the summer, it'll go down. You can't float. You'd have to be doing a lot of dragging if you want to travel this river. And where was I? Yes, I left off in a pristine, cold, dam-fed river. That's below, not that one. No, we're going to skip them guys right there. Float Van Buren County is where we're going to go. And as I was saying, it's a project developed in collaboration with the Clinton Area Chamber of Commerce, the City of Clinton, Van Buren County, and We Love VBC. The primary goal of this project is educate the public on the availability and access to floating in Van Buren County. According to Jason Hayes of the Clinton Area Chamber of Commerce, we have found that there are more usage of the river for floating than was so commonly known about, and that this floating is being done with limited access to launch sites. Proponents of the Float VBC project and other projects designed to enhance tourism in the area suggest that increasing tourism to the Little Red River System area will offer a more convenient floating option for those in more southerly portions of the state, and it will also offer a stunning trip on the water. Excitingly, says Gail McRae, executive director of Greers Ferry Lake in the Little Red River, the initiative will also result in increased job opportunities in the area. To increase better access, the initiative, in working with other organizations, has identified two locations for initial launch sites, both on the Middle Fork of the Little Red River. Locations about an hour north of Conway. You can find the GPS coordinates in there. Shirley City Park. Yes, that's about close by where I intend to go. Now, Bluffton Preserve, this is on the Archie Fork. And was it... oh golly, it's been a little while. I'd have to go back and check. A couple of years anyways. I went and I spent a week out there on the Archie Fork, and it comes into Clinton. And oh, that's beautiful. Way back up in there, I've been where this beautiful overhang, big huge flat rock, just right there on the creek. Now that one right there is definitely when it could be floated. It's very dependent on the water flow, because when I went, the water was going down. And so many boulders. Yeah, that was I didn't float it, but I did float around out in the water from Bluffton. Yeah, lots of rocks. It's a 9-mile float trip, and you can get in down there. You're going back to see some hills and dropping back off down into there. And it runs, all these all run together and then into Gersh Ferry Lake. Let's see. There's more. The Natural Bridge, that's kind of a joke. But I guess some people like to go see it. Anyways, there's more here that have all been included in the R-Log. Now then, we're right about to the top of the hour, and where we're going to be later on. Let's see, this is Friday. It is the Freakers Friday. That is spelled with two E's, Freakers Friday. And tonight we've got Miss Gravy Mary with a rocket chair. 7 o'clock on the eastern side of the country. Come on along. Sun trip. 11 is Grimner and Moose Girl, I do believe. Unless Moosey's off a gallivanting to a musical excursion. Let's see, Grimner says, is there a Archie Fork? He says, is there a Betty and Veronica Fork? Very clever. No, but there should be. I'll start a petition right away. Tell us more tonight at 11 Eastern on the Freakers Ball, y'all, right here at RealLibertyMedia.com, RLMRadio.xyz. Now, tomorrow, I will assume to be one more time here for, and then not be for a little while, but with my good friend Lou, who you may know as Flash Somebody. That's right. On a dork table, which really, I think we could switch it eventually and move our Tuesday team effort of contrasting the occupation in a perfect world to Saturday. I think it would be much more appropriate day. So, I mean, well, I didn't even talk to him about that. But I'll do that at a later time, because I'm fixed to be bugged out, rambling on. That's right. I've been rambling on for an hour here. So let me tell you more. Tomorrow at, noon Eastern will be the dork table. And I'm going to jump in, I do believe. So I got packing and all this stuff. But I think I can take a little time out for my good friend and sign off, because we missed last Tuesday in a perfect world of being together. So that's going to happen tomorrow. My good friend Lou, who you know is Mr. Flash Somebody. Yes. Noon Eastern tomorrow. Come, listen, have fun. And, hey, it's for those of us that don't need therapy. So I don't know if you can stand it or not. This is Sunday is the big day right here at Real Liberty Media. This is our flagship day. Grimner comes along and plays some blues. We play trivia. You got fast fingers. Tappa, 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 tappa. What? No dork table tomorrow. What do you mean? What's wrong? He's avoiding me. Flash, what's wrong? They're escaping. I think he's making a trip. I forgot. That's right. Thank you, Grimner. You won't see me tomorrow. All right. Where are we? We're Sunday right here. The flagship day. Yes, Grimner. Playing blues. We're playing trivia. Fast fingers. All that fun stuff like that. Grimner will start a little bit early, so if you want to hear that groovy, gravelly voice of his, then get here early, about a quarter till 12 when he opens up. And then following this, the trivia opens up. This here is the day to be here. That is Sunday for sure. And following the blues, we've got Hal Anthony from Behind the Woodshed. Better be here. This is where you need to get the information at. Where you're not going to be ending up like these folks that are being taken out. Try to learn how to avoid So it's not an evasion. You know, they're coming from you. What you want to do is avoid that contact. You can find out more from Hal Anthony every Sunday. Tech this in Nature Willing every Sunday at noon o'clock Pacific. That's out on the left-hand side of the country. Monday, we got Grim Leftovers. Make your mouth water. That's right. Every Monday, Grim's back, 7 p.m. Eastern. Come on back. Now, I don't know if Flash giving up the Tuesday show with me gone for a while. I don't know where. We'll figure something out. But normal Tuesdays is in a perfect world at noon, my time. Then we go Wednesday, Grammys here within blasting off again. Smell that gas. They're going fast. Wednesday, that's Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, and Thursday, Flash is at 2 p.m. Eastern with 20% off. That's a good deal. All right, there it is. Wrapped it up. Got a blog, our log here to build and put together. It's not even pre-started. Yeah, so I work on this, but not real quick. But I will have to do a couple of things right away. And I'll get my great Grimner in here and push buttons. All right, let me go push a button, because I have that kind of audacity. That's right, audacity and button. That's how I'm doing all this. I'm recording with some audacity and broadcasting through, it's not my butt, but I use it. Broadcast using this tool. I like it. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next time, where I'll be back some point here, maybe a couple, two, 3 weeks. I've got this episode 13 and a half to conclude or preclude for the next round. That's it. Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll see you next time right here at RealLibertyMedia.com.